Happy New Year and welcome to the first episode of the Beat the Bookie podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is James Welsh, horse racing form expert, handicapper and betting advisor. I have profited from horse race betting for over 25 years. All bets have been fully proofed. Hopefully 2021 will be much better than 2020. We still cane those greedy, evil bookies, and I promise you we'll do it again in 2021. I beat the bookie, and so can you. If you're going to become a horse racing bettor, it's necessary to make a distinction between punters who gamble and those who bet. Gambling is playing games of pure chance with no possibility of predicting long-term results. Examples include the National Lottery, fruit machines, online casino games, etc. Betting is all about odds. Neither bookies nor punters know the true odds. Bookies are in competition, so their odds on offer differ, and the odds can change quickly as punters place their bets. If you're a gambler, please leave now. If you want to become a more professional bettor and learn how to beat the bookie on a long-term basis, then listen on. Horse racing gives us the opportunity to assess the odds on offer and make an accurate assessment of the risk and return equation, and only bet when the return or likelihood of success is particularly attractive. There is now a vast amount of information available to computer literate punters, which you can assess the risk. We can use previous results, statistics, trends, etc. to enable us to ascertain which variables work at influencing the results of races. These variables can then be applied to future races. So what methods and strategies will I be adopting in 2021? And what are the key fundamentals that never change? Well, I treat every calendar year as a new beginning. Starting from scratch on the 1st of January with my profit and loss back at zero. This gives me the hunger and desire to succeed and not just rest on previous year's accumulative profits. You always need to keep improving in this game, gain new edges, refine successful methods and strategies. This keeps me ahead of the field. Do not surround yourself with negative people who say the bookie always wins. They don't, and I have proved it. If you're knowledgeable, employ professional methods, exercise patience, discipline, you will make long-term profits. You need to see yourself as an entrepreneur whose business is horse race betting and not a gambler. There are many excellent punters who get winners, but they don't make money. Some don't even know if they're winning or losing. This is down to money management and being honest about your betting. You need to have a staking plan and record all your bets. I use an Excel spreadsheet and update it daily. Analyse it. Look for what you're good at and what you're not. Flat, all weather, jumps, turf, dirt. You quickly identify a pattern. Cut out the fun or action bets. There is no fun in losing. Betting on the get-out stakes. There is no last race. It all starts again the next day. The best bets you make are the ones you don't make. Before placing a bet, set aside a sum of money, which you can afford and is separate from the remainder of your assets, and create a bank account solely for betting purposes, your betting bank. As an example, the account could be £1,000 and you only bet one singles, staking £50 a time. If you double your betting bank, then double your stake. If, and hopefully not, you half your bank account, then half your stake. Following this method will allow you to sustain any long-term losing run. With over 8,000 races run in the UK each year, it is impossible to keep track of all four. After analysing my results and from previous years identifying my biggest source of profits, I have decided to specialise my UK betting in 2021 on the all-weather, races run on synthetic surfaces and flat turf races, but only if the ground is good or better. With any rain and racecourse clerks overwatering, the ground is much softer than officially reported. Times indicate this and the form is unreliable. We'll be betting the fastest horses in the fastest conditions, not plodders staggering home in a swamp. The big jump racing festivals at Cheltenham and Aintree are a great watch and have a small interest, but mainly using tote bets, the UK's PMU, such as the jackpot and placepot, as the pools are massive. However, I have found that jump racing has so many small fields, often of poor quality, especially midweek. The form is also very well established. Horses race for many seasons and there is no edge. The odds are mostly about right. My profits are so small, it is not worth the effort. The all-weather has taken a long time to become accepted in the UK, and it still has its doubters, but the all-weather championships has increased the quality and raised conditions. It is now the norm that future Grade 1 winners, Group 1 winners, are debuted on these surfaces. A fifth of all races run in the UK is on the all-weather, so we have plenty of betting opportunities and mostly not weather impacted. I admit in these tracks there is a significant draw bias and also pace biases, but we can use this to our advantage, especially when a jockey who is not a household name but knows these tracks much better than the so-called top jockeys. These can offer great value bets. Also, there are many sires who have incredibly high straight rates on these surfaces that isn't publicised, but I know them. I'm always noting new sires who are not well established but getting loads of early winners on synthetics compared to turf. By spotting these early, I get lots of big price winners. I will share these weekly for free in forthcoming episodes with these horses that have also caught my eye, and I will recommend you add these to your tracker. I have long been a fan of US racing. It started with Stevie Coffin becoming stable jockey to the late, great Henry Cecil. He would ride the other jockeys to sleep with his front-running tactics, as he knew the pace fraction so well. The speed style of racing suits my methods perfectly. It's only been the last few years we've been able to watch and bet in the UK. I can confidently say there is no UK odds compiler working for a bookmaker that knows more about US racing than me, and with little liquidity in the exchange markets to guide them, they are making massive mistakes, and I have been punishing them big time. My USA Racing Club has now had four consecutive years of massive profits, with only a couple of losing ones. When making profits like this, you will soon be converted to betting stateside and will grow to love it. I will give you a preview of all the weekend's top racing. You never know, I might even see you at the Breeders' Cup. I used to go as an end of year treat, particularly when held in sunny California. But recently I've been taking part in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, the Horse Players World Championships. There's a $10,000 buy-in, but there's a chance to win a massive pot and pit your wits against the best handicappers in America. I'm determined and I will win it one day. So how do I do it? I never read a trade paper or newspaper tipsters. They are journalists and not professional bettors. Don't be influenced by these people or TV presenters. They don't put their money where their mouth is. Don't take tips from stables or anyone associated to a stable. They are biased to their own horses. They are not subjective. You need something that is unique that the bookies and other punters don't have access to, and that is your own ratings. I call mine power ratings. Every horse has an official rating. I use this as an initial base figure. What we have to work out is what horses are massively underrated, progressive, and potential future bets. There are many variables that I use to adjust the base figure, my notes from watching all relevant races and reading the race reports and horses, each horse's previous track and trips that had biases. For example, was the horse's finishing position assisted or negatively impacted by the draw, its post position? Look at the results and you'll see the first three home if they all came from a group of either high or low stalls, indicating a strong bias, or had a favourable trip during the race, such as being on the lead at a walking pace with slow time fractions for the early furlongs. You might possibly even note a combination of both. I will make either a positive or negative points adjustment to the base figure to start my horse's power rating. That is why I mentioned earlier you need to specialise. Watch and read race reports daily, updating your records. It is time consuming and hard work, but you will get a massive edge and the rewards are worth it, believe me. To understand track trip biases and spot future winners, you have to review each day's race. Allocate at least 1 hour race analysis time to watch all the relevant replays. As I said, there are so many races and horses, you need to specialise as you won't have time to cover everything. One other thing to look out for when watching race replays is after the winning post. Some horses finish full of running and carry on galloping past horses. I take a positive note of this. Alternatively, some will stop dead right after the line. This is a negative. It's had a hard race and will be opposable next time, particularly if turned out quickly. In general, I want to see a horse overtaking, as they are herd animals, but not all want to be leaders, so no matter how well some travel through a race, they will never go past the leaders. Always bet winners. A key variable is class. If the horse is racing in the same type of class, or even better, being dropped a class due to a hidden bad performance, that is a positive addition to the figure. If stepping up in class, although it could be progressive and improving, every horse has a class ceiling. How many horses won Group 1 races? Very, very few. One thing that is a must, any potential bet's power rating must be increasing. I will only bet improving horses, never one with a steep declining power rating. Horses have lots of physical ailments and can lose their form very quickly. Forget this nonsense about horses being a stone lower than the last winning mark and that makes them well handicapped. There is usually a reason why, and I can guarantee you it's gone in the game. My final adjustment to my power rating is fitness. I look for a pattern. Some horses need time between the races and run best when fresh. Others stay in form for only a short period of time at a particular time of year. I use a 35-day rule. Any absence longer than this and there might have been a problem. You want a fit and in-form horse. Now you have the horse's power ratings, you might want one that is well ahead on the figures for the race you need to understand how the race is going to be run. I draw a picture of how I think the race will unfold. Who will make the pace? How many will be on the front end? Will it be an extreme pace? Or a race with low speed? Who will try and close late? This way, you will highlight any possible race bias. It also gives you a great understanding of horse racing and makes you an expert handicapper. If you can predict how a race is going to be run and unfold, you're ahead of the field. Another crucial variable to mention is the jockey. Horses have different running styles. For example, some are front runners, some have to be ridden with restraint and come from off the pace, so it's a help if a jockey knows these traits. Also, as mentioned earlier, there are specialist all-weather tracks that jockeys can go under the radar, particularly lesser well-known ones. It always surprises me when trainers remain faithful to a stable jockey when it's blatantly obvious their riding style doesn't suit an individual horse. or they ride a particular track badly. A positive rider change can bring out massive improvement. After analysing a race fully, you have made your decision. You will back what you think will be the winner of the race. Take any price, a winner is a winner. Don't. Each horse's true chance in a race cannot be scientifically verified, but you should be more disciplined. Calculate a price you are prepared to take and don't take anything less. You always hear people talking about value, but to me there is no way of calculating value. Value is a matter of personal opinion. A crude method of calculating odds you are prepared to take is to list all the potential rivals to your selection in the race. If there are only two, look for approximately 3-1 or better. You will soon develop your own method and become good at forecasting odds. Ideally, you want to get to a level where you can make your own tissue and easily spot bookmakers' odds compiler's mistake and take advantage of them quickly. So that's my strategy for 2021, and I tweak these every year. However, my four key fundamentals never change. They are speed, pace, form, and class. For you football fans, remember SPFC. 1. Speed. Is it fast enough to win? Does it have a time figure on a par or preferably above today's average winning? 2. Pace. In my opinion, the most crucial factor in any race. 3 or 4 front runners might ensure a pace meltdown, which will suit a closer. But if I can identify lone speed, that is my favourite bet. A horse loosing the lead, even if it's a few points below on my speed ratings, rarely stop. They seem to gain confidence and the courage of being the leader of the herd. With experience, you'll get to know fast, slow fractions. These are the internal segments of a race and crucial to the outcome. Sprint races in the US, which are usually run around one turn, no straight tracks in the USA, are timed at the quarter mile, 2 furlongs, the half mile, 4 furlongs, and then the final segment. Route races, which usually go around 2 turns, are typically timed at the half mile, 3/4 of a mile, and a mile, and then the final segment if the race is longer than that. Fractions faster than 23 seconds in sprints and 24 seconds in routes are considered fast. These are very useful if you're betting in play, but that is another topic and we will discuss that one day. Number 3, form. The horse needs to be physically fit enough to win. It must be run well recently and progressive. 4, class. The level the horse is running against. Has it been placed in the same class of race? It should be okay. If it's upped in class, as mentioned earlier, they will hit a ceiling. So never forget SPFC, speed, pace, form, and class. Hopefully you'll now have an understanding of the time and effort you need to put in to become a successful horse player. It's a great intellectual challenge and the rewards are worth it. I'll publish a new podcast every Friday. I will preview and give you the best value bets for the weekend's racing, both in the UK and the US, upcoming big festivals such as Cheltenham, Royal Ascot, Glorious Goodwood, York Ebor, the US Triple Crown races, the Breeders' Cup. There are so many great meetings, potential anti-post bets, and I'll review the previous week's racing with horses I've spotted that I will recommend you add to your trackers. I'll beat the bookies again in 2021, and so can you.